No, networks don't talk about it. Government can't tax it. But sports betting is a $200 billion a year business.
Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio.
Pick and Pork.
Trib Total Media. See what's next.
Tim, you also picked up a game last night.
It's important.
It is important. Have you ever come to be thinking about Pick and Pork during games now, Tim? Has it reached that stage with you? Or?
I might pick my own pork from time to time, Ken, so that kind of distracts me from what our standings are.
Oh, I see. DraftKings.com?
Oh, exactly. Well, whoever finds sponsor is associated with this program.
As soon as this game went in overtime,
Luigi in the Strip District.
As soon as this game went to overtime, I was telling myself, damn it, Ken and I are screwed because Baltimore's going to kick a field goal and win this thing, and we had our shot, and we had it right in our hands, and just like Josh Gobe, we missed. We had it, Ken. We had it.
We had it, and we didn't. Noon tomorrow, we got the local teams in action. All at the same time, right? All noon-ish kickoffs. All in the first hour, Pitt, Penn State, and West Virginia.
Some games have been moved, too, on the East Coast. By the way, I don't know if people are aware, but Lane Stadium, where Pitt's going to play, where the hurricane could hit, they have one of those fields that's on a tray. That thing drains like 16 inches of water an hour, so.
Chris Peak broke that down yesterday.
Oh, did
during the Panther Lair show. So check out the Panther Lair podcast. He talks about how Virginia Tech has this very sophisticated drainage system and how it's used in like only like maybe a dozen places around the world, but how it's like
their
so
secondary is equally as porous, but
especially without Kendall Fuller now.
Yeah.
He was an All-American quarterback.
Their starting safety got kicked off the team before the season started. So
that defense lost some bite.
This Roethlisberger cell phone story must be the biggest story in all of New England right now.
Oh, God.
I can't get away from the tweets from people from New England who are coming at me with this Roethlisberger. Have you seen the video yet? Have you seen the photos?
Haven't you blocked these people yet?
It's clearly his wristband. You know the wristband is laminated on the front?
Yeah.
And he's got his thumbs on either side. So people are like, look, he's texting. He's holding the wristband folded over. Even Mike Florio, the great defender of the wall for the Patriots on Pro Football Talk, has come out and said it's not his cell phone. But they won't believe him when it's somebody else. When he's defending and absolving Brady, then he's a bastion of journalism. But now it's just time to dismiss it and clearly make your own judgments. It's unbelievable up there. It really is.
So much for Mike Florio obtaining sainthood in New England. Too late.
It's going to take a while to get you dislodged from there, Tim.
Oh, they're calling for a four-game suspension and, it's time for him to sit for four more games after his injury. Are they just going to try to pass it off as a suspension during the injury? Like, I'm done.
They've become victims.
Yeah, they have. Everybody's out to get them all the time.
Let's start with Pitt, Virginia Tech, noon kickoff. It's on ESPN3 and I guess picked up locally, I'm assuming. Is this going to be a Channel 4 ACC network?
I haven't looked at Channel 4's.
Pitt Vautech.
Yeah,
Pitt Vautech is Root Sports.
It's on Root, okay. Very good. Hurricane Joaquin, okay, maybe they were going to drain 16 inches an hour, but I guess it is going to be a factor, right? This will be raining throughout this game at Lane Stadium. At least it looks that way. The noon kickoff in Blacksburg tomorrow. I watched some of the Vautech East Carolina game yesterday on the replay. They looked like they were going to roll, and Virginia Tech East Carolina brought in their running quarterback, and Vautech just couldn't stop him. He was like Houdini. But Vautech's D line is very good. They are very good. I mean, they had three guys up there that were dominating on lots of occasions. So I don't know if Pitt can come in here and run.
I think they can. Because Virginia Tech's allowing 7.6 yards per carry to Power 5 teams. So I think they can. And you mentioned how they couldn't stop ECU's running quarterback. You know who else they couldn't stop? Chad Vojtik last year at Heinz Field.
Now, they ran for 210 yards against them last year, but it was Connor and Vojtik. Connor's not playing, and Vojtik will play very little.
But Vojtik is the guy that they're struggling with. And I think it was David Hale from ESPN that mentioned that Virginia Tech is giving up more rushing yards to quarterbacks than any other team in the past couple seasons.
I would jump all over this because I think Boyd could have a field day against his secondary if the weather was an equalizer. But in the rain, I don't know how much they're going to be able to throw. So I'm ambivalent. I'm waiting to hear what you guys say.
Well, and the spread's a factor too, Guy, because I agree with you. I mean, I pick Pitt to win 9, which means they got to win 3 of these big road games coming up.
But they win by 5.5.
Well, I see. They're getting 5.5. I'm nervous they're going to lose the game but cover. for my 9-win prediction, which now I have a Giamatti's Pizza bet with Tim and Josh on.
Oh,
I got to take Tech.
I got to take Pitt in the points, but I'm not feeling real good about the outright win given the circumstances here.
I'm with you. I think this is a game that Pitt could lose by a field goal, but not outright win it, but they'll keep it close. I'm taking Pitt. And granted, there's a chance they can win. If they put packages in for Vojtech to maybe run and exploit what Virginia Tech can't seem to stop, maybe they have a shot at it. But I have them losing and not and but covering, so I'll take Pitt with the points.
I think Pitt's defense, I think it's been lost a little bit. They haven't really played anybody that I was pretty good, but they got 10 sacks. They've only allowed one touchdown pass. I mean, I think there's been a marked improvement there. Narduzzi's effect may be greater there than anywhere else. I think 5.5 points is too many to turn down, especially with bad weather in the offing. So I'll take Pitt as well.
So, Tim, you're the lone wolf here with Vatek giving the points at home.
I got to make up ground.
Pitt's beaten them 5 out of the last 6 times, too.
That's
they've kind of had
yeah.
their number.
Yeah, it's done well against them.
Always tend to do well against Vatek. So I'm already trying to get into desperation mode. I'm chasing, Ken. I'm in chase
Don't chase
mode.
This early. We got 100 games to pick by the time the season's over. We're only 20 in.
Yeah, what am I, 15-5? I'll be 20-70 by December.
Our listener, Jeff in Illinois, is also going to take Vatek, though, Tim. He's looking for their bounce back after an ugly loss to ECU on the road. But watch those front linemen for Vatek. Daddy Nicholas, Luther Maddy, and Corey Marshall. Very, very good.
Did you say Daddy Nicholas?
Daddy. Daddy and Maddie, they call him.
Oh, boy.
On the front, they're going to be tough to run against for Pitt. In Norman, Oklahoma, the Mountaineers off the bye week getting 6.5. This is a hard-to-predict game.
Oklahoma had a bye week, too. They're both weeks rested, okay. Yes.
Good to note. I'm really bullish on what I've seen from West Virginia, but have they played anybody? A guy, you pointed out, like Georgia State's good.
Georgia Southern,
yeah. in their realm of the world, but is that Oklahoma good? What are you expecting here in this one tomorrow?
I don't know if West Virginia is Oklahoma good, but I'll tell you something, Oklahoma's defense ain't great. They gave up 603 total yards and 38 points to Tulsa at home. That defense is not that
That's
good.
One of the biggest games of the year for Tulsa,
and
though,
that,
too. I mean,
but at the same time,
yeah.
Skylar Howard, the way he's played, he could take advantage of Oklahoma's defense. I really think he could. And Samaje Perine, that's the name to remember. He's the guy that killed West Virginia in Morgantown last year in the second half. He ran for 200-plus yards. I think he was a true freshman. That's the guy they're going to be trying to stop.
No relation to Shannon Perine.
No. He's got one R fewer
than
Shannon. But, yeah, that's what they're going to have to try to stop is Samaje Perine. Their quarterback, Baker Mayfield's pretty good. But I almost said Westinghouse. WVU's defense, this is one of those games where people really start to believe in them. I think they'll limit them in a 6.5-point line.
They've only allowed 12 points in three 12 games. They get the number one scoring defense
in the country.
In the country, and
they're also,
they haven't played anybody.
They're also first in field position, and they're first in limiting scoring attempts inside their own 40. But this is one of those games, a 6.5-point line. I'm taking West Virginia. This is too easy.
Well, here's two other reasons I'm going to take West Virginia with you. Oklahoma's -4 in turnovers. They've lost the turnover battle in every game.
Mm-hmm.
They also have gotten off to incredibly slow starts. They've only averaged 6.5 points in the first quarter. I mean, you combine their turnover problems, the fact that they haven't started well offensively, and that West Virginia's played very well defensively, and I can't not take 6.5 points.
If I'm not mistaken.
I'm shaky about it because at the beginning of the week, I'm thinking Oklahoma's going to kill. This is the first of four straight. October is a killer for West Virginia. They play ranked teams four straight weeks now. We're going to find out about them. This is their first real test, but I like their chances.
If I'm not mistaken, this is Oklahoma's fourth offensive coordinator in three seasons. I think they had two co-offensive coordinators last year. And both those guys are gone. This is their fourth in 3 years. Oklahoma's got problems on offense that they can't seem to figure
out. Well, in addition to them turning the ball over, West Virginia has the number one turnover margin in the country. So
Carl Joseph, I think, has at least one pick in all the first three games.
One thing I wonder about, though, Oklahoma's got a great punter. Austin Siebert's his name. He's averaging 46 yards a kick, and he's been pinning people in deep in their own territory. You know, you get out there in Oklahoma, and you're starting on your own 11-yard line, a little different than playing Georgia Southern in Morgantown.
West Virginia's good at the opposing field position game, too, though.
How good is Baker Mayfield, the Oklahoma quarterback? He's been called like a Heisman contender, and I wonder if he
beat out Trevor
Knight. Is he going to be able to carve up the West Virginia defense a little bit here?
And he beat it's Trevor
a toss-up
Knight. And
game.
He beat Trevor Knight. Trevor Knight was the darling after Trevor Knight sliced up Alabama in that bowl game.
And
in the Sugar Bowl, I think
Katy
it was.
Perry wanted to bang him.
And Katy Perry wow. was a big Trevor Knight fan. They're calling it the curse of Katy Perry, by the way. What happened with Trevor Knight?
Oklahoma put up 572 yards of offense against Tulsa.
And gave up 603.
Okay. Oops. Well, this is a typical Big 12 game. Yeah. Right? It's going to be like 55 to 51.
And West Virginia, even going back to last season might have been the biggest margin. West Virginia's played them close each of the last few seasons since they've been in the Big 12. Remember that 50 to 49 game a couple years back when Geno Smith was still quarterbacking for West
you
Virginia?
Guys are right. West
they play
Virginia's
Oklahoma
D's
close.
Better.
Oklahoma did win at Tennessee, though, and it makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, but the question is, was that more Oklahoma winning or Tennessee losing it? Tennessee had a 17-point lead and blew it.
That's still a tough place to win.
Yeah, Knoxville ain't easy.
All right, give me West Virginia, but again, I don't feel real good about this.
Me too, West Virginia. I think West Virginia can actually win this game outright.
I'll go
That's
with
how good
Virginia,
I feel about it.
So I can stay patient with you guys in this one and make it.
Jeff in Illinois is our lone wolf taking Oklahoma. He says, even though the Sooners don't have the great Landry Jones under center, I like them covering against the Mountaineers. Yeah, if they had Landry, all would be well.
And people refer to it out there as the post-Landry Jones era with a little tear coming down their
face.
Sure
they do, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you what, I'll lead off the next one, all right? You can put this one on me. I'll lead off, and I'll take Army plus the points at Penn State. Plus
no, we're
26.
Not picking that one.
Yeah, that's not on our list. Yeah,
it's not on the list? Why isn't it on the list?
Because there was no line until, like, yesterday.
So what? What?
Mike's got to get the list out to people early in the week. So.
Shit weather with Penn State. You know,
two running backs hurt. I would take Army in the points, too.
Plus 26. Put me down.
And is it really?
And they've covered every game.
26 points?
26,
is the line?
Yes.
Wow.
We'll give you an attaboy if that comes true, Tim.
Oh, thanks. Tiebreaker. Put it in as
Kendall
the tiebreaker.
Sing his song.
He never got his attaboy for Syracuse covering. They were, what, 24-point dogs, weren't they?
It's because I probably would have picked LSU.
Duly noted.
Bengals and Chiefs is our last game to pick. At Paul Brown Stadium, 1 o'clock on Sunday, the Chiefs are 1-2.
Wait, so we're only doing four games? Don't we usually do five?
Yeah, four. Yeah,
we usually do five. We usually do five.
What do you guys think about this? Chiefs lost to the Packers, but kind of were respectable, if that's possible, and letting Aaron Rodgers shred them.
Yeah, in the
they hung around in that game. Yeah. Bengals, of course, are 3-0 here. And
I'm going Cincy.
Riding high. They're giving 3.5 here at home.
They haven't been 4-0 in 10 years, though. And they started 3-0 last year, and then they went 7-5-1 the rest of the way.
I will comfortably take your Cincinnati Bengals. Hooday, Ken. Hooday.
As good as the Chiefs may have been in that fourth quarter against the Packers, they just lost Phillip Gaines, one of their starting corners.
Torres ACL Monday night. Yep.
And if you're a team facing,
they get Sean Smith back this week.
They do get Sean Smith back, but the one thing you don't want to have to face against Cincinnati is not having both of your starting corners. That's a problem for me. Bengals are 3-0 against the spread, by the way. I'm taking Cincinnati.
The Chiefs have allowed 861 passing yards and 10 touchdowns. That's the most yards in the league. On their own offense, they are 5 of 30 on third down. That's the worst in the league. Cincinnati's beaten them the last three times they've played them. Kansas City's 0-4 in Cincinnati since 1984. The half point bothers me a little bit in the NFL, but the only thing this is the kind of game Dalton usually is good in, a home game against a team that's struggling. So
in October.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I'll go with them to go 4-0 for the first time in a decade.
I'm going Chiefs. It might surprise you guys. I just as good as I think the Bengals
against the team that beat in the division, Ken?
Well,
but they're still the Bengals.
Now they're still the Bengals.
4-0 is just not possible with Marvin Lewis.
Oh, jeez.
Something's happening weird in this game. Houston and Holly are going to torture Andy Dalton into some bad picks. 3.5 is too much.
Now I know why you.
I thought it was 2.5.
And your wife get along so well because you just argue with yourself.
I sense the reality of the situation and I call it appropriately.
Oh, man.
They still are going to be the team to beat in the division. They're not going to run the table. This is Cincinnati now. They're not going to be 16-0. They'll lose a couple games. They shouldn't.
So when he fails at this prediction that the Bengals are going to win the division, he can then say, I told you they'd
lose. I told you they'd lose to the Chiefs. Yep.
I had that Chiefs game.
You really expected me to pick the Bengals to go 16-0.
I really expected you to. After your soliloquy when they beat the mighty Oakland Raiders, I expected you to pick them every week to cover the spread, to double the spread.
I go week by week.
You made them out to be
the
85 Bears.
They're good. They're 3-0.
He made them the 83
right.
Dolphins is what he did.
But this week, I could see him stumbling.
I'd take the 83 Bengals.
Listener Jeff also takes the Bengals minus the points. Alex Smith's going to be running for his life behind that shaky Chiefs O-line, he says.
Good point. Their O-line is struggling.
All right, call me the lone wolf here. So Tim's out on an island with Vatek. Actually, you and Jeff, our listener, are taking the Hokies. And I'm taking the Chiefs. We're all on board with West Virginia.
They're showing on NFL.com right now the sound effects of Roethlisberger, all the injuries that Roethlisberger sustained when he broke his nose a second time against the Panthers. Now I'm just waiting for him to take the cell phone out of his pants and do a selfie on the sideline, tweet it out to all of New England. Did you guys catch that video that I told you about yet? The sorority girls from Arizona State at the Diamondbacks game?
Yeah.
God, was that funny. Oh, my God, was that hilarious.
That must have been after I left yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
I was just actually hanging out in here, and Ken still saw me on the camera.
Guy would love that photo because he hates people on cell phones at baseball games.
I'll bring it up for you.
It was pretty fantastic. Bob Brenly killed him. It was great.
Brenly was just ripping him apart. Oh, the fact that they were scarfing Cheerios. You know, they're sticking their fingers down their throat to throw them up later.
Oh, God.
Look at me, I got a Cheerio. You're not eating a Cheerio. Who are you kidding? You kidding me?
Where will we all be on this fine planet Monday morning, Guy, when we next speak? Will we all be right with the world?
I'll tell you what's going to be interesting to watch this weekend, not Pittsburgh related, is the American League wild card race. Three teams within a game of each other for the, you know, that's going to.
This is for the second spot, isn't it, or is it for both spots?
No, the Yankees got the first spot.
They did clutch the first spot.
Think,
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they did last night or not.
Or do they? Maybe they don't.
They needed to win Wednesday night to sew it up.
And they lost.
But they lost. But I didn't check if they did last night.
I'm not
Yankees
sure.
have clinched the spot, but not home field.
Okay.
Okay. So it's the Angels.
The Twins are still in it.
The Twins. The Astros are a game up on both of them. So the Astros have the leg up. They've been fading. They had the division lead for a long time, and they got tough games. They're playing Texas and the Royals.
Have the Rangers won the West? Is that final?
I thought they won it last night.
They did.
Yeah.
I thought they won.
No, actually, I don't think so.
So that's not weird. The Astros at least clinched, right?
They clinched, but not the division.
So the Rangers could actually end up in one of those wild card spots if they don't sew up the West too. So that's important. The Astros play
at Arizona, which gives them a break because the other two teams are playing Kansas City and Texas.
Texas sounds like they're in the best position because Kansas City's already won their division. They got nothing to lose at this point.
Jeff Banister, former Bucco coach.
Good guy, too.
Yep.
Happy for him. They lost Yu Darvish early in the year. He had a lot of injury problems. They got off to a bad start. It looked like he was in over his head, and he's held it together.
You want to talk about manager of the year? Jeff Banister in the American League? He's a guy you got to consider for it.
Yeah, I would say Matheny and... Well, the Toronto manager, based on 92 wins, although they...
Oh, so you say Toronto manager, and the first thing I think is Cito Gaston, and I know that's 20 years late.
Who the hell is managing
Gibbons.
Toronto?
Gibbons. Is it still John Gibbons?
Yeah. Gibby.
Even after he tried to fight his own pitcher in the hallway going to the clubhouse?
Right. Look at Guy. Guy is so disgusted by this. How old is your daughter?
That's what I'm sitting here. This is my daughter. This is them. This is every selfie picture I look at with the pouty lips and the peace sign and everything else. This is all I have in my house.
This is the death of humanity.
Yeah. Duck face for days.
Look at this. Hold on. Has he gotten the hit yet? My favorite part is when the guy gets the hit because, you know, here they are. There you go. Keep cutting away. It goes on for about 2 minutes here where it's solid, nothing but cutaways of them doing selfies of themselves. You know, you've got to redo this one. Here she is. Didn't get the churro in the first picture. So on the next pitch, he's going to slap a single, right? And immediately, they did a great job. The director and the producer cut right to the girls. They don't even notice. They don't react. The ball could have screeched into their faces. It could have gone over the fence for a grand slam. They wouldn't have known the difference.
They think they're at a movie.
They think they are the movie.
Good.
It's the Diamondbacks. They kind of are the movie.
All right, there's the hit.
That's why they're showing them for 2 minutes.
Right, exactly. It was more entertaining. Now watch. Ah!
I'd rather they were in the swimming pool.
I tweeted it out at Ben's Trib Live 970. Kudos to my friends at the X, my former colleagues at the X. They found that one, and I blatantly ripped it off, but I credited them. So go ahead, check it out.
Good stuff. All right, Guy, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday morning.
All right, I got West Mifflin, Bell Vernon tonight. Looking forward to that on a crisp Friday fall evening in the Bergeruno.
That should be a really good game.
Yeah.
That's Cabali's Leopards.
I thought Cabali was a McKeesport guy.
No, he worked for the Daily News out there, but he's a Bell Vernon dude.
But he had leopard skin underwear growing up, so that's why he, oh, that's why he went to play for Bell Vernon.
Awful.
With skid marks.
How could you tell on the spots?
Thank God we ate Mike and Dave's yesterday.
Thank
that's
God
all
it
I
is
got.
Friday.
Oh, man. Thank God Penguins, we had food a day early.
Penguins Roundtable debuts at 1 o'clock today. Jonathan Bomboli with me in studio, and we'll have Jason Mackey on live from Carolina. Last Penguins preseason game tonight. Official preseason game. I'll play some scrimmages, I wager. I'll get you some lineups for that game and maybe a little more post-game sound. I don't know if we want to hear from Tomlin or maybe we don't want to hear from Tomlin. Benzie, coming up.
Pretty short.
Well, how much was there? I mean, we barely got it even on the post-game show. We're coming back from commercial break. We got about a question and a half. I don't even know what he said.
He was all of 2 minutes.
2 minutes? That was all 2 minutes.
He came in and started to talk. The cameras weren't out. Like, our camera guy wasn't even set up yet. He just came in, sat down, and started talking. We didn't even get the first answer.
I don't care what Tomlin said. I just want to hear Ken sing again. I want to hear Skippy the Kangaroo, and I want to hear Snoop. That's all I want in the last 14 minutes.
We'll do it all next on the Giovanni's Pizza Hour at Trib Live Radio.
Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, located on 6th Street in downtown Pittsburgh. Fast and free delivery. Give them a call at 412-281-7060. Lunch special starting at just $7.49 with selections including small grilled chicken salad, a bowl of soup, two cuts of pizza and a small garden salad, penne pasta, garlic bread and a small salad, half a hoagie and french fries or half a hoagie and a can of pop. That's 412-281-7060. You can even order online. Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta in downtown Pittsburgh and online at ilovegiovannis.com.
Looking for a creative and fresh way to say happy birthday, I love you, or thank you? Well, don't just say it. Send it with Edible Arrangements. Always fresh. Our arrangements and gourmet chocolate-dipped fruit boxes are always made to order with the freshest ingredients and handcrafted especially by our fruit experts. Gifts for any occasion start at $29 and are available for same-day pickup or delivery. To order, call us at 724-523-5555 or visit edible.com.
Duffy's Beer and Much More in Pleasant Hills, 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com and get your pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. Your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and Much More in Pleasant Hills and online at duffysbeer.com.
You don't need to face criminal charges alone. Call me, Frank Walker, 412-532-6805.